People want to believe. We tell each other, just read the Bible. But what happens when it just isn't easy to understand? This is Know God.
You're listening to the Know God podcast. I am Micah, and I'm here today, as always, with my dad, Tony, and my mom, Sandy. How are you guys doing today?
I'm doing well.
Yep, and Micah, excited to be here.
Well, we are back, and we are starting our second season, and I think I'm just going to hand it over to Dad. He's got a few thoughts on kind of where we ended last season and where we're starting this one.
Thanks, Micah. I do want to welcome everybody to this second season of Know God. We have really enjoyed doing this, but also been really just happy with the feedback that we've received from folks, whether it's been on Facebook or by sending emails to the Tony Kafka the knowgod@tonykafka.com email address. We really appreciate that. Last season, we wrapped up with how to disagree. And we talked about if you have something on your mind that you want to share with someone else, or someone has something on their mind that they want to share with you, how does that work in a way that is actually productive and respectful? And so we enjoyed that. I know that many of you have listened to that podcast. And we are starting this season off with a bit of just a springing off of that, because it's one thing to be able to say that's how it should work. It's another thing to say what has to happen inside of me in order for me to be the kind of person that actually works well, and how do we deal with that. So that's where we're going with the early part of this first season.
Right.
What we are going to talk about is how to be considerate, and in parenthesis, without being a doormat.
Okay. All right.
Yeah.
So that's what we want to jump into. And actually, just kind of as a preview, next week we're going to talk about how to be tolerant. And I know that for a lot of people, that's a big political buzzword. And for some believers in Christ, some Christ followers, that's almost like it's a derogatory thing. It's, in other words, we don't want to be tolerant because we're way too tolerant of all the bad stuff that happens around us. And so that's where we're going with that. And we'll talk about that. But first of all, for this first episode, we want to talk about how to be considerate. And so that's what we want to jump into. So we're ready to go, right?
Yes, we are.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Yep. So being considerate is really something that it's not just live and let live, which is what some people think considered is. Considered, actually, when we think biblically in the instructions from Jesus and from his apostles, being considerate is actually being very proactive. Again, people think that just because I just mind my own business and I let everybody else do what they want to do, one, that I'm considerate, and second, that I'm actually tolerant. That's next. That's our next episode. But this one, I feel like that we have kind of given ourselves a pass and have not been true to what being considerate is. Because if you just stop and think about it, the people who are, you would count as the people who give you the most consideration.
Yeah.
How would you describe them?
They listen to me, except, but they will let me know when they think I'm on the wrong path or whatever. They don't just go along with everything I do and say.
Right.
Yeah, I think actually listening, like taking the time to really listen to your point of view instead of just jumping to a conclusion, I think that's a big part of it.
Right. And that is considerate. I'm actually thinking, because that's actually in that bucket that I would throw as, it could be, if that's all I do, then that's live and let live.
Okay.
Oh, okay.
It is, I pick up the phone and call and say, hey, how are you doing?
Oh.
Considerate is proactive.
Right.
Considerate is, I heard that you were in the hospital. So I don't just go, oh my, well, I hope they're okay. No, it is that I investigate. I go through the network that we share and find out what's going on and see if I don't have a contact for that person.
Right.
So is that also where you haven't heard from them in a while? You will make the step to contact them and see what if they're okay?
Exactly.
Because they're you're proactively thinking about
them. Right. And as believers in Christ, we also add that piece that we say, well, man, they're on my heart for a reason.
Mm. Oh, okay.
We kind of have that sense about it. And it may just simply be that the considered act that ends up being as far as I can take it is, I leave a message on their voicemail, or I message them on Facebook, private message, or
it text. Maybe
it may, it's not that it's not like I all of a sudden am bringing them the whole nine yards of a great big meal to show them that I care about them. It is that I took the step to reach out. And so, biblically speaking, if we're going to be considerate people, we have to take initiative.
Okay. Huh.
And to me, that kind of defines where this conversation needs to go. And I think it also defines where anybody listening to this has to really look at our own hearts. We have to just say, okay, so where am I on this? Because I think of myself as a nice person.
Right.
But nice does not mean necessarily proactive.
Right. Nice can be very passive.
Yes.
Yeah. Doing nothing, leaving people alone.
Right. And so that's where we're going with this, because that's where the Bible goes with it. So in the considerate person nurtures respect for other people. They protect the respect of other people, but I nurture it. I see someone struggling, and so I say a kind word to them. I take initiative to say something to them. I send them a note, you know, whatever method that I can use, I pull out all the stops and do that. And because at the heart of it, for me, for us, the person who's going to be considerate, it's because we deeply value people and we deeply value that person in that moment.
Yeah.
And so they feel like we hold them in high esteem. That's being considerate. And so we've already seen that this is a very proactive thing. And, you know, in the current time, just to kind of back up a little bit, remember, you don't. Well, you maybe do. You're old enough that maybe you do. But in the old video...
He's directing the question at me, not mom.
Toward Micah. We think about the old phrase that you occasionally see in old movies, that you go into the video store and one of the signs says...
Like Blockbuster?
Yes.
Okay.
Even pre-Blockbuster.
And there's a sign that says what?
It says...
Be kind, rewind.
There you go.
Hey.
Oh, I forgot all about that. See, he didn't. He remembered, not me.
Also, don't leave your videotapes in the car in the summer because they'll melt.
They'll melt.
Okay,
that's
all
not
right.
As quippy of a sign, though.
That doesn't have to do with being considerate, right?
But if you think about...
Oh, yeah, I guess so.
If you think about be kind, rewind, that is a proactive consideration for the next person.
Right.
Okay.
So there you go. That's the phrase. But isn't it... And actually, that is... strongly catchy phrase. It is no longer applicable.
Well, yeah, and if there's anyone under the age of what, like 20, listening to this, they still don't know what you're talking about.
Well, they have to watch a movie that has that referenced in it.
Maybe Stranger Things.
Uh huh. Yeah, maybe. The other, isn't it right? Like right now, some like educational institutions, public schools and stuff, don't they have like this theme for the year? Be kind.
Right. Oh yeah, we have a shirt. Pound be kind that every once in a while.
I think that's hashtag.
Hashtag.
That thing is still a pound sign to me. Anyway.
Be kind. Rewind.
Hashtag be kind on our shirt. Yep.
And so, Micah, what's that supposed to drive in the culture? Hashtag be kind. What are people's, how is that supposed to be proactive? Do you have any idea?
I have no idea.
You have no idea. So that means like when I do something like in social media, I might use that as a tag.
Oh, well, then that's like humble brag.
So I don't, yeah, that's fine.
Well, or you're encouraging people to be that.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Okay, you know.
So are the kids supposed to, like, if they see someone else be kind, they're supposed to, like, hashtag that? Or are they, like, supposed to do stuff and then do
that? It's just what, you know, being kind in the school to each other.
Oh, they'll need to, like, put it on social media.
And, yeah.
So the hashtag is just to confuse you with the pound sign.
At least that's what this old lady thinks. Who knows what
we're getting in the weeds here now.
We're getting in the weeds. But at the same time, we understand that culturally we long for this proactive, considerate behavior. We want people to do something that helps lift the culture to be a considerate culture rather than the opposite of considerate, which is very self-serving and nasty.
Yeah.
Because again, consideration is driven by, or it grows from inside of the person, inside of myself. It grows from a healthy self-worth. That I know who I am, I don't have anything to prove, and I can share value to others because by sharing value, by making another person feel valued, I'm not diminishing my value at all.
So you're saying in order to value someone else, you first have to value yourself.
Yes. I've looked at this so many different ways through actually the decades as I've tried to teach, try to get to the core of what has to happen in a person's heart to be able to do things, and being considered as one of those.
Yeah.
And how do we experience that life change? Well, we have to know our value. And as followers of Christ, we find our value in scriptural teaching.
Mm-hmm.
And it's kind of in two phases. One is that, Psalm 139, I am fearfully and wonderfully made. I know that God made me unique
mm-hmm.
and for a purpose. And so I have value because God created me and gave me value. That's fundamental. That's even fundamental to the American Constitution. Well, not Constitution, but the Declaration of Independence. Right, right. We hold these truths to be self-evident. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So there is this value that has to be there. And so when we see the lack of consideration, what we can do, according to my theory here, is we can read behind that and go, wow, there's just a lot of self-doubt in this room because there is no consideration going on in this room.
So you got to move from self-doubt to having strong self-esteem.
Yes.
Well, and I think, you know, because for my lifetime, I struggled with having consideration for other people and and loving them and treating them right. And for years and years felt like it just shows I'm such a bad person, or maybe I'm not really a Christian after all, or all these doubts and stuff.
Which then the self-esteem even lower.
Exactly. Exactly. And it wasn't, you know, until recently in my life through doing recovery and especially going to a therapist that I came to realize the low self-esteem that I had from, you know, being criticized and never good enough, you know, when I was growing up young, not in our family, but also in the school system. And I think even maybe more in the school system at that time, you know, that I felt like I couldn't do anything right. And it wasn't until I was able to look at that and let God start dealing with that in my heart and working through things with help, friends, therapists, and stuff, I realized that was the reason I struggled all to be considerate and respectful of others, because of my low self-esteem and my feeling like I was not good enough. And as I've worked that, I feel like I'm getting better at that. It will take a while, but I think that's, you look around and there's lots of people like that in the world.
Yeah.
And we have to take that into consideration in trying to help other people. Consideration.
There's our word, consideration.
Yeah.
Yeah. Which actually kind of helps us to move forward in what we want to talk about here, because there are some scriptural teachings and scriptural standards and models that help us to understand consideration. I know that it seems like at this moment in American life, that consideration is not, it's like everybody says it's a good thing, mm-hmm. but there's not very many people that are really proactively pursuing an environment of consideration. And so let's just talk for a moment. Again, we referenced this 2 Timothy passage, chapter 2, verse 22 and on, actually in our How to Disagree podcast. But let me just point out the fact that it talks about that we flee the evil desires of youth. In other words, we grow up is really what it's saying. We grow up and we pursue righteousness, faith, love, and peace. So we have this pursuit that comes, and we do it along with others who call on the Lord out of a pure heart. And so there is this need to get centered in a wholeness inside of ourselves, which then is the kind of like the seedbed for good self-esteem. We need to realize that we can have this love and peace and such, and it has to come from something outside of ourselves. Mm-hmm. And as followers of Christ, we believe that comes from the value that comes from Jesus. I'd already mentioned the value that we have because God created us. Then there's the value that we have because Jesus loved us and gave his life for us because we were valued by him.
But my experience is also that you have to have other Christian believers in your life that value you.
Right. And it starts with some Christian. There has to be this flow generationally, that a person passes on this understanding of value, mm-hmm. and affirms it, that God values us and that Jesus values us. And that is enough. Though our genuine value has to come outside of ourselves.
Right.
We don't like that because, again, a strain within human nature, human culture, is that I have to become something to be valued.
Right. Yeah, you have to earn it.
You have to earn it. If you have to earn your value, you can just as easily lose your value.
Right.
Right.
If it is granted to you, it is declared,
inherited.
It is yours.
But are you saying then that it should be enough that it's just coming from God? Or is it also needful that we have other people in our life?
Is it kind of almost symbiotic of it? It should be inherent, but the only way we realize that really is with the help of others.
Right. In some ways, when you look at Christian evangelism and discipleship, mm-hmm. big church words there, but sharing my faith with someone so that they put their faith in Christ and then helping them to grow up into a person that is imitating Christ, we need people who are mentors. It's like children need parents to help them model what comes ahead. We all need mentors. And so we all need those caring people, and to use biblical phrasing instead of mentor, because mentor's not so much used in English translations, but the word shepherd or pastor is.
Yeah.
And I use pastor with the small p, not to get confused with a person who has that as a title.
Right. Just someone that cares for people.
But someone who looks over the needs of people and nurtures them.
Okay.
And so, yeah, it has to be experienced. And I think this is God designed.
Yeah.
It has to be experienced from person to person.
Mm-hmm. So that that caring for and that consideration from other people helps someone be able to discover that inherent value that they have.
Right.
Right. Right.
Yes. And then we all, just like children, have to grow up to realize, oh, that was mom and dad. And I know that they loved me deeply and wanted the very best for me. And now I have to accept by faith that this genuinely is true about me now. I don't have to rely on my parents or the mentor person in my life to have to always feel like I've got value. It is that they transfer this ability to grab a hold of the innate value that God and His Son, Jesus Christ, have bestowed upon us.
Nice.
Anyway, that's mm-hmm. a fun... I mean, that's actually amazing.
Yeah.
It's actually amazing. So in this passage in Timothy, we talked even in the How to Disagree podcast, but it is that this sets us in a place that we don't have to be quarrelsome. The Lord's servant must not be quarrelsome. Well, that's easy to say, but if I feel quarrelsome today, I'm going to be quarrelsome.
Oh, yeah.
But the reverse, so we know that when we face a moment in our lives, we can either go on this tangent of being quarrelsome and inconsiderate, or we can move to, as the NIV puts it, we are kind to people. So if we want to think about contrast, again, as if someone's listening to the podcast, think about, so where am I on this spectrum? Well, do I like to be quarrelsome or do I love being kind? And so it's not, we can't beat ourselves up about this, because beating ourselves up about it doesn't change it.
Right.
Well, and it can change from day to day.
Right. But it's kind of like our evaluative moment. And so that's why a catchy little phrase like hashtag be kind is a cool device to remind us of who we actually want to be, what we want to portray, not in a false way, but then we use that as, okay, I'm really struggling inside right now with my self-value.
Right.
And that's what I need to work on. I don't need to maybe in a given moment I force myself to be kind, but I have to come back and really fix the problem. It's like, you know, you got to fix your car. You might be able to drive it for a little bit without fixing it, you know, depending on what's wrong with it, but eventually you got to fix the problem.
Yeah.
Or it's going
to
crash.
Or
it's going
to fall apart. You got to get the help to fix it.
You got
to,
yeah. You got to get the help. So, just another kind of casting the vision of, you know, hashtag be kind is, I love out of Titus, and actually the little tiny New Testament letter of Paul to Titus, called Titus, is a fun thing. And it has like 8 or 9 spots in it where it describes Christians as people who are devoted to doing good.
And then where's that at?
Titus. And it's actually, the one I'm looking at is actually in Titus chapter 3, but it's actually woven all through the 3 little chapters of this little letter to Titus, is this concept. And so it says that this is a trustworthy saying. So Paul is saying to Titus.
Titus 3, 8 through 11 that we're at.
Yeah. And so he says, this is a trustworthy saying. I want you to stress these things. And that is to the believers in the church that Titus was connecting with. So that those who have trusted in God may be careful, or that is focused, to devote themselves to doing what is good. These things are excellent and profitable for everyone. This is that proactiveness. Now, it doesn't have the word considerate here, But being considerate is being devoted to doing what's good for another person.
Right.
Mm-hmm. I think that, you know, it may be in the top five that being considerate to other people is like one of those top five characteristics that, that I need to give to other people is being considerate, just being considerate, because it puts us in a place where people are experiencing what is excellent and valuable for them as human beings. Again, I know it sounds like a lofty, almost like pie in the sky vision, but we have to have that vision to know that that's what we want to be. We want to pursue that, the value of it.
It's good to pursue high.
Right. Now, interesting.
So you're going to read the next verse.
Well, I am, because Paul Ginn gives us this contrast. He gave it to Titus, and we can look at it and go, okay, so I'm either doing things that are profitable and valuable for people, or as he points out here, but avoid foolish controversies and genealogies and arguments and quarrels about the law, because these are unprofitable and useless.
Mm-hmm. And it's so easy to go that direction.
Yeah.
Right. And so I would contend that verse 9 of this Titus passage is almost like take your temperature, and if you've got a high fever on this part, that you just love controversies, you love arguing about things, you love quarrels.
Being negative about everything.
Yeah, you are pursuing something that is only going to be unprofitable and technically useless to the people around you.
Wow. And that really just piggybacks off of our last episode of how to disagree.
Right.
Right.
Right. And so we have this great vision of how a disagreement should look and how it should play out, how we should conduct ourselves. But this podcast is talking about what's got to be happening inside my heart for me to be the kind of person that I can be a participant in that kind of positive discourse.
Yeah, and especially if we're seeing we struggle with this so much, then seeing, okay, what's the deal? And even getting some help to find if you need to.
Yeah.
Right. In order to do this, we have to be focused on the big picture, which is God gives me value, and I find it through his son, Jesus Christ. And so in 1 Peter chapter 2, we have this admonition in verse 12. It says, live such good lives among the pagans. We'll just go with pagans for today. That pagan just means actually a person that is out of the loop of righteousness.
Okay.
They may accept righteousness, but they're out of the loop. Though they accuse you of doing wrong, they may see your good deeds and glorify God on the day that he visits us. Again, I contend that being considerate is one of those measures that even most people, I'm not going to say everyone, would look at it as, Tony Kafka's got some really wacky ideas, but yeah, he's just a nice guy. And nice not in the sense of passive,
right,
but nice in the sense that I'm glad he's part of my life, even though I may really disagree with him. And how many people can say that about a person that they would really disagree with?
Not many.
Yeah, because the way most people disagree, then you're not, you know, you've turned the person away.
Yeah.
You
cut them out of your life. Mm-hmm. You're not going to interact with someone that you disagree with.
Or you're blasting them on social media.
Yeah.
About
how
wrong they are.
Yeah. So that passage has a lot of great things to say, but I'm going to jump right to verse 7. This is 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 17.
Okay.
It says, I think, a good summary of the casting this vision of what we want to be about. It says, so this is, if we're being considerate, then verse 17, we show proper respect to everyone. We love the family of believers. We fear God. And why did Peter have to add this one? And we honor the emperor.
Or the president.
Or the president. Yes, the leader of the government.
The leader, yeah.
I feel like, I mean, I know that our podcast is not about politics.
Right.
But, and it's not about even the current president, because every president pretty much, for your mother's and I, for Sandy's and my lifetime, it seems like it really kicked in when Ronald Reagan was president, that the culture began to really become less and less considerate. And like, so the honoring the president began to move from just reporting things, you know, editorials, because there's, you know, free press in America, and I believe in that. We should be able to criticize the president,
mm-hmm.
but we don't have to devalue the person.
Do it hatefully. Right.
Right. And now we have just come, how many presidents since Reagan to the current president? And it depends. And again, it seems to be very partisan. But if a person doesn't like the president that's in office, they no longer feel compelled to respect
right.
the office, and therefore the person in office. I think that as a believer, and again, anybody's listening to this podcast, thank you for listening. But especially if you are a believer, you call yourself a Christian, we have to look at that verse 17, and it just simply says, this again, this is an evaluative point about where I am in my own self-esteem. I show proper respect to everyone. And then, so just in case we didn't understand what Peter was saying, he gives a few examples. We love the family of believers. Now, there's a whole nother deal.
That's what I was waiting for you to give me a chance to say.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Is that what do we see? You know, currently what we see is people leaving the church because they can't stand what's going on or the people there. And it's like, are we not, you know, how do we be? And I feel some of that at times, you know, of, okay, what's going on here? But we're supposed to love the family of believers. So we're supposed to be connected to some family of believers. Mm-hmm. And when we go off and isolate ourselves, we're not fulfilling this. Is that right?
Right. And so, it doesn't really help to beat ourselves up about that. I have failed on that. I'm not loving the family of believers. I have to go back and say, something's going on inside of me. I've got to get myself sorted out. I've got to find help.
Okay.
So again, these are evaluative. I mean, they are commands, but just because I go, okay, I'm not loving family members, okay, by golly, I'm going to have to just buck up and start loving people. You know? I'm going to buck up and be considerate.
Put a hashtag love.
Hashtag be considerate, you know, that kind of thing. Well, that's the vision, but I can't do the vision if I don't have the healing inside of my heart about my own value.
Right. And that's what I shared earlier, that's the example of my life is beating myself up all my adult life, trying to do it, because I didn't see that I needed to deal with what was inside here.
Right. Now, again, that passage, and I think I've probably said enough about honor the president, but it's just like, you know what? It's time to realize that we're not doing anybody any good. And I don't care if they're believers or non-believers. I don't care what religion or non-religion that a person has as a citizen of the United States.
Right.
There is no value. There's no good that comes for us as people by devaluing the leaders. Mm-hmm. We should always speak out against things that are wrong. We should always contest anything that a leader does that we believe is the wrong choice. But that is not a reason to devalue. Now,
do it with consideration.
Right.
Yeah.
But there seems it's my observation is that by demeaning and devaluing the person, we feel like we're winning the argument that you should not listen to anything that that person says.
Right.
That might be true. The collateral damage is we are devaluing our national covenant, that we actually want to be a people where people's rights are protected. By devaluing the president, we're devaluing our personal rights. Yeah, anyway, there you go. Send me an email. Another thing here, this was a passage that I was slightly hesitant to delve into. But because it's one of the few passages in the New Testament that the English translators actually use the word considerate.
I thought
we just pretty much can't ignore this one.
All right.
But I'm okay with it. I just know that this is a confusing passage for some. It is 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 7. Peter writes again about how to do life, and he starts off with talking about being submissive to each other as believers, and then he goes through, like Paul did also in Ephesians, but in this 1 Peter 3 passage, he talks about, so what does that mean for women, for wives, and what does that mean for husbands? To live considerately with each other. And so in that, I'm not going to talk about the part for the wives, because in this it addresses the husbands. NIV wording goes like this: husbands, in the same way, be considerate as you live with your wives and treat them with respect. So we see respect and considerate together in the same sentence with Peter. And treat them with respect as the weaker partner and as heirs with you of the gracious gift of life, so that nothing will hinder your prayers. Now, let me read NLT, New Living Translation, also. In the same way, you husbands must give honor to your wives. Treat your wife with understanding as you live together. She may be weaker than you are, but she is your equal partner in God's gift of new life. Treat her as you should, so your prayers will not be hindered.
Yeah, all right. That one better.
Well, this is actually the where it says live with understanding in the NLT is actually the word that is be considerate mm-hmm. up above. It's the gnosko word. It's the word for knowledge.
Okay.
It's live with knowledge or understanding mm-hmm. is the application of that. So what can we say? It's not always true that in any given marriage that let's just even say physically speaking,
right,
that the wife is weaker than the husband.
Right.
Now, it says weaker partner in the NIV. It says weaker than you are.
Maybe weaker than you are.
Yeah, in the NLT. It is, there's another place that this is in 1 Thessalonians. And I'll just throw that out as a teaser for someone that really wants to try to find it. this word in the Greek is not used very often. It's actually the word vessel. It's like a mm-hmm. clay bottle, clay jar. And so it is a metaphor or a euphemism for something in that culture, first of all.
Okay.
So we have to be really careful that we don't throw our own imagery onto that metaphor that we may not fully understand.
Okay.
And that's why even Bible commentators don't necessarily see this passage as in the same way. What it is teaching.
Right, because it's a metaphor.
It's a metaphor. It's a euphemism from that culture. And people would go, okay, yeah, that's what people say.
Right.
You know. And I don't believe that Peter was, this is just my opinion, I don't think that Peter was grabbing hold of a negative metaphor. It was something that taught cultural boundaries.
Right.
Because generally speaking, a person who is physically stronger can dominate a person that's physically weaker
right.
in very abusive ways.
Yeah.
So let's talk about what this obviously is teaching. Husbands, don't beat up your wife. Okay?
Yeah.
Don't be abusive. And you can take it from that extreme and come forward and say, oh, the opposite of mm-hmm. not living in an understanding way and not realizing who this is that is in my life, that they have their strengths and weaknesses and I have my strengths and weaknesses. And so instead of taking advantage of my power over that person, I am considerate. And so that comes into our whole conversation about being considerate. Like I said, I felt like we couldn't ignore this passage. But think about even seasons of life for married people. And I've known a number of couples who this sense of who is the more needy person at a given moment or the person that needs the most consideration, mm-hmm. it fluctuates
right.
in the relationship.
Yeah.
And so Peter's taking a principle that spoke well to his culture. And honestly, as much as we don't want to admit it, this speaks well to our culture as well. How many men live inconsiderately with their wives?
Yeah.
And use either physical power or emotional manipulation or rely on cultural expectations to really make their wives' life less than what it could be. Yeah. And their wives do not feel valued. Mm-hmm. So we can argue about, people can argue about weaker vessel. That's really offensive to a woman. How about let's look at the big picture of what Peter is addressing here. And realize that this is a principle for all people, but in his particular culture, he really needed to call out some men
yeah.
about this.
Yeah, because in that culture, women had, in the culture, not just in Christianity, but in the culture, they had no power. No position, you know.
Well, this is 2019, and last year was the year of the woman, and unofficially, and it became the...
Yeah.
The Me Too movement and stuff.
Right.
And again, mm-hmm. that felt more political, but it is a strong social movement.
Right.
But actually plays right into right. what Peter is talking about here, mm-hmm. is that it's time to create an environment where people are safe.
Right.
Yeah.
And have consideration.
Yeah, not just women, but children and
yeah.
men and everybody.
Right. So when we think about being considerate, we obviously it's proactive. We mm-hmm. live in an understanding way with each other. We value each other. We are equal partners. And in American culture, we're equal citizens. And in the church, we are equal partners right. for what we receive.
Right.
So there's probably, we got a little bit more time. Can we just talk a moment about what I think we kind of turn a corner a little bit and we talk about what has to happen inside of us.
Yeah.
In order to be here. James chapter 3, verses 13 to 18. I'm not going to read it all, but I just kind of started off with this way. Because we just read in Peter, we need to live in an understanding way. Now, let's look at this passage in James. And it says, so who is wise and understanding among you? So if we want to take Peter saying we need to be wise and understanding with the people around us.
Yep.
Who is wise and understanding among you? Let them show it by their good life, by deeds done in humility that comes from wisdom. Again, it's proactive. We're not passively doing this. And then he basically gives the warning that there are some things that are going to be hindrances to us being considerate. And that is, we harbor bitter envy, selfish ambition in our hearts. Such wisdom does not come down from heaven. It's earthly, unspiritual, demonic. Wow. I mean, that's...
Yeah.
And so when I am working out of envy, selfish ambition, denying the realities around me, the truth, then I am definitely on the wrong track. But where you have envy and selfish ambition, there you find disorder and every evil practice. So what works against me being considerate? Envy and selfish ambition. Getting ahead for myself because I want what someone else has.
Right.
It's a core sin, brokenness of the human race. James then writes, but this is the different path. The wisdom that comes from heaven is first of all pure, peace-loving, considerate, there's our good word, submissive, full of mercy and good fruit. It's impartial and sincere. If I could live by that, the people around me are going to feel valued.
Right.
So wisdom, the opposite of wisdom is selfish ambition and envy.
And so then just take a look. All of the inconsiderate, let's just keep it with the word considerate and inconsiderate. All of the inconsiderate things that we see happening around us, this passage tells us is driven by envy and selfish ambition.
Yeah.
And then, again, one of those phrases that's like, you know, post it on Instagram, you know, make yourself a nice little deal. Peacemakers who sow in peace reap a harvest of righteousness. I know that speaks more to people who are familiar with biblical terminology.
Yeah. Like, could you break that down a little bit? Especially, I think some people, maybe righteousness isn't a term that they use in a daily basis.
Right. Righteousness is a very multifaceted word. It basically says, righteousness, God is righteous. And it means that things work perfectly. Now, when we think of righteousness, we might think, well, good behavior. Good behavior is actually just an aspect of righteousness. Righteousness is about the world functioning by its creator's perfect design.
So the opposite of chaos.
The opposite of chaos, yes. And even sometimes what we define as chaos is actually woven into the fabric that we just haven't understood its design yet. So we have that harvest of righteousness that we want to pursue. So that sets the tone that I have to be aware and confess, as a believer in Christ, I confess my envy. I have to be honest with myself. I might need help with from other people in my life to really identify who am I envious of or what am I envious of. My selfish ambition. I want to be one up on everybody else around me. And you think about the inconsiderate conversations that we hear, it's the one-upmanship. In fact, isn't that a typical kind of like sparring thing that goes on in relationships?
Right.
And I'm not saying that nobody should do that. I'm just saying that it's all right to have fun and games, but at the end of the day, if we don't know we're joking, it's a problem.
Yeah. Well, not even, I maybe going into the weeds again, but that one-upmanship is like needing to prove that you have something better than the other person. So you're not only not, you listen to people just to get what you can get above them.
Right.
So if they've done this much, well, I've done this much.
Mm-hmm.
You can't see my hands. I'm doing motions here. But yeah, so, you know, when you're considerate, you actually can celebrate other people's things that are more exciting than yours.
Right.
Right.
And you can only do that if you're totally secure in your own personal value in the eyes of God, in Jesus, and mm-hmm. in key people in your life.
Nice.
So it's that self-value. One more thing is that Romans 15 has some good things to say about that. I don't think I'm going to necessarily read that right now, but Paul prays that that God would give us the same attitude of mind toward each other that Jesus had toward us. So that's, again, a lofty aspiration, but it means that the Apostle Paul prayed for us.
Right.
It's not just the people who first read that letter. It's anybody who reads that letter now. So Paul's prayers echo out to our benefit.
Nice. Mm-hmm.
And so we accept one another just as Jesus accepted us. We do that to just honor God. So let's kind of wrap up with some tough questions here.
Okay.
How do we really work to be considerate and to please our fellow people, our mm-hmm. neighbors? What do we need to do today?
You're asking us.
Oh, you're asking us a question.
He's looking at us, by the way.
Well, I can look at the microphone, and the person listening to the podcast needs to answer this question as well.
The first thing that comes to my mind is I first have to get my heart right and deal with my issues that are getting in the way so that I can do that.
Yeah. I also have to know what actually pleases my neighbor.
Yeah, well, you have to take the time to know him.
Yeah, I have to get to know them.
Exactly.
And Micah, I've seen you through the years of being a person that does that at least intentionally many times that I've observed. Yep. And that's a positive thing. People should emulate that kind of mm-hmm. intentionality of just getting to know a person. You never know when you finally hear the one or the number of things that then you can turn around and show great consideration to that person. You know, let's just take, for example, if a person is very attached to their pet is ill.
Right.
Now, I'm not a pet person. And in my selfishness and in my insecurity, I could like demean or minimize the value mm-hmm. of what they're going through. But for me, if I'm considerate, I look at that and go, that's a horrible thing they're going through.
Yeah. I think touching on that exact thing of even you have observed them enough to know that they have a different relationship with a pet than you would. And you value that difference instead of expecting them to need to have the same relationship with a pet that you did.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Yes.
And I know this may seem uh-huh. trivial to be talking about pets when we're talking about consideration, but when I encounter someone that has a pet, and it happens to me because I get around a lot, mm-hmm. you know, because basically dogs love me, and so I can always pet them. And so for me to make a comment to the pet owner, one, oh, wonderful dog. Yeah, I love your dog, you know. I don't say to them, and I'm glad I don't have it. But I do love the animals, you know. Yeah. And, you know, and I make a comment about, you know, a beautiful dog or whatever, you know, something about it. I don't have to say that. But if I'm proactive in being considerate and doing what pleases my neighbor, I make a comment that's a positive comment about their pet. Now, let's just take that to their children. Or whatever.
Yeah. But so you care about them enough that what they care about also excites you.
Yes.
In a way.
You get to know them enough so mm-hmm. you know that and then can,
Right. Because I'm confident in who I am as a person. I don't have to prove anything. I just extend that consideration to other people.
And you don't have to, you're confident enough that you don't need to feel that you're wrong for not liking a dog just because they do. We're taking this pet metaphor really far, but mm-hmm. I think it's working pretty well for us. So
yes,
you respect and consider them enough that you don't feel shame about the way you feel.
Right. Okay. Right. This almost seems like a rabbit trail, but I think this matters, right? Because one thing that really helped me was a number of years ago, I encountered a person, and I'm not going to say the situation because I don't want to.
Anybody figure out who you're talking
to protect the innocent.
Right, to protect the innocent. But we got into a conversation about this person was very involved in the Humane Society and in protecting, you know, rescuing animals and stuff like mm-hmm. that, and has pets and loves pets and stuff like that. This person, in just conversation, I said, I said, well, I don't, we've had pets, but it's not a big deal to me. And we got to talk a little bit more. And I said, I grew up on a farm. And this person then made the comment back to me. And again, because I'm like secure in who I am, it didn't bother me. But this person said to me, oh, well, that explains why you're not really a pet person. You animals are always more utilitarian to you.
Yeah.
And so in me being that person was had a sense of self-confidence, self-esteem, didn't bother that person that I wasn't into that like they
right.
were.
Mm-hmm.
And for me to give them a perspective of my relationship to animals was like, here's this understanding that goes between us and we can still have this great consideration
yes,
for each other's.
I was gonna say, it's a perfect example of being considerate.
Yeah. Even though we really are, that could end up being a kind of an ugly little thing.
Yeah.
No.
That's really good.
Especially if you got sarcasm involved in that.
There we go.
I see that down here in the notes, you know.
Yeah, Micah and I talked about this some time ago, and we talked about where does sarcasm come into this? Sarcasm is so tricky when it comes into being considerate of other people. Because it would, an easy answer is there's no room for sarcasm.
Right.
Because.
Because it sows discord and it can cause, puts people down.
Yeah.
Right. I've actually had this conversation frequently in recovery ministry when we are going through steps and we have studies that we do through this. And the conversation comes up about how the aspect of having different kind of relationships, having positive relationships. Mm-hmm. And the conversation then comes up, well, can't we just still rib each other and joke around and be sarcastic with each other? And that's always an interesting conversation.
Because often sarcasm undercuts value.
Right.
It's your opinion is so laughable that I don't even need to take it seriously.
Right.
Right.
But I have some sarcasm occasionally. Okay. Mm-hmm. I don't, maybe more often than I realize. I like to think that I do it with an equal. And this is actually where we talk about it in recovery is that if you're confident of the equality of your relationship with this person, then sarcasm can be fun sparring.
Right.
I do think it's a bit dangerous because it can be a habit that then I use on people that I don't have equal relationships with.
Right.
Now, I just want to make sure that those who are listening to the podcast know that this is just gospel according to Tony at this point.
Right.
This is one of those things that our culture does love sarcasm and ribbing and joking and practical jokes and stuff like that. We just have to really think through some of these things in the relationship of am I forfeiting my heart of being considerate to people.
So be considerate of how your sarcasm affects someone else.
Right.
Right.
And if it's hurting them, then it's not going to be beneficial to the relationship at all.
Right.
Right.
It may be fun, but it's like going around a curve a little faster than you should. You're risking some things. That's what I feel about sarcasm. But I do take the risk every once in a while.
And he takes the risk of going around a curve too fast.
Okay. Well, there's more we could say, but I don't know how close are we on our time?
We are way over.
Okay.
Oh, no.
We better just wrap it up then. So, just to summarize, how are we actually going to build the kind of atmosphere where people can have healthy, honest relationships of equality and respect for each other? Being considerate is a normal thing because being considerate, consideration is how I show you how much I value you.
Yeah.
So that is my guide. Struggles with self-esteem are going to set me up to be inconsiderate toward other people in a way that is either random or it's a terrible problem that I have. And so I have to come back and find a certainty about my own personal value.
Nice.
That God gives me and that Christ gives me and that people around me who love me give me. And I have to come back to that touchstone in order to be considerate. So I hope that as we are considerate, we grow to be more like God. And the more that we imitate God's behavior as pursuing righteousness, pursuing this perfection, we actually know God better because we understand Him better as well. If you have any questions, just email us at knowgod@tonykafka.com. That's knowgod at tonykafka.com.